Down and Out Books presents Flight of the Fox, written by Gray Basnight. Chapter 3. Saturday, July 20th, 2019. Sam Teagarden's house, Bethel, New York. Sam Teagarden mistook the tiny drone for a hummingbird. Sitting on the sun deck near the bird feeder, filled with sweet red liquid, he was accustomed to the motorized sounds of ruby-throated visitors. Yet there was something about the revved-up buzz of this particular bird that was not natural. Whatever it was, that unnatural something drew his attention from the unopened manila envelope at the top of the snail mail pile he'd picked up at the rural post office an hour earlier. Glancing at the dangling feeder, he saw that the muted mechanical whir was not coming from a hummingbird at all. It was a compact helicopter, about the size of a baseball, hovering just beyond the railing. His second mistake was to assume it was a toy. "Well, hello there," Teagarden said. It held steady, as though watching him. He leaned from the round table to peer through the gaps in the sun deck floorboards. He expected to see the shadowy outline of the boy who lived on the other side of the wooded lot. "That you, Billy? You down there playing a trick on old Abe?" 11-year-old Billy Carney enjoyed sneaking up, squirting a water pistol, and calling him Old Abe, because he had a beard similar to President Lincoln. "Come on up here, Billy. Let's chat some more about the great mysteries of mathematics." But there was no answer. "Hey, Billy the Kid, you down there with your remote control?" Still no response. The glare of the afternoon sun made it difficult to see. He scanned the yard's edge and tree line of the adjacent undeveloped lot. No Billy there either. His voice, however, did cause movement. It awakened Coconut, Teagarden's old and overweight yellow lab, who had the good sense to be lounging in the shade of the screened-in porch adjacent to the sun deck. Hearing his owner call Billy, and knowing perfectly well who Billy was, Coconut rose and lumbered to the screen door where he, too, took interest in the hovering device.
"Hurf!"
His tone held more idle curiosity than canine threat. Beyond the railing, the drone appeared to hear Coconut's languid bark and reacted by climbing to a higher angle at the edge of the table's umbrella, shading Teagarden's papers and laptop. It was almost as though it were trying to gain a view without glare. Teagarden watched it glide back and forth. He saw then that it couldn't possibly belong to Billy Carney, because it was certainly no toy. It was a complex device, delicate but substantial, engineered with metal parts affixed by miniature rivets. As a mathematics professor and numerical analyst, he couldn't help admiring its perfect geometry. The body was little more than the open frame of a three-dimensional diamond, nearly like a lighter-than-air box kite. A camera lens hung in the geometric center that looked like a manic little techno-fetus as it feverishly spun 360 degrees. Short twin antennae protruded at the front, and a trio of rotor blades held it aloft, each tilting independently to adjust for wind or, in this case, the afternoon sun.
"Oof!"
the Labrador complained again, more forcefully than before, his tail vigorously wagging.
"Don't ask me, Coco. I've got no idea what that thing is."
Teagarden stroked his beard.
"Some practical joker, I guess. Or maybe the news media are getting ready for the 50th anniversary of Woodstock. It's going to be particularly noisy around here with old hippies and eyewitness TV crews for the next few weeks. Reporters will probably want the usual interview with me as the Woodstock baby who was born while Country Joe was singing, 'Give me an F. Give me a U, give me a C, give me a K.' And all the old hippies will be blasting Hendrix and Santana. So, you might as well get used to it. Just like I might as well get used to the idea of being half a century old."
Teagarden checked that the water bowl on the deck was full and within easy reach for the 15-year-old dog, who couldn't walk without severe pain. Unfortunately, for this sweet boy, the time had come. These were their final hours together. Teagarden had a vet appointment in 2 days from which he'd return home alone.
He rubbed his own aching knees, still hurting since the auto accident the previous winter, then rose to open the screen door and admit his beefy dog onto the sun deck. Come on, Coco. If that thing gets in the house, it'll try to mate with the microwave. We may never get rid of it. That's when the drone fired. Teagarden couldn't know if Coconut jumped to protect his master or only to smooch. Prior to suffering from crippling arthritis, it had always been the dog's nature to jump and smooch. Besides eating and sleeping, smooching was his favorite activity. When that big dog rose on his hind legs to brace his front paws on the chest of any willing human, he was nearly at face level with all but the tallest people, which allowed willing victims to engage in interspecies exchange of saliva. In this case, when Coconut jumped, it knocked Teagarden a step backward. A moment later, the drone fired a second time. And for a second time, without yet realizing it, Teagarden had his best friend to thank for saving his life. Despite his arthritic hips, the dog jumped higher and took the second round in the back, loudly yelped, gasped for air, and fell dead. Teagarden dropped to his knees to cradle his dog at the moment the third round was fired. Instead of slamming his chest, it struck the cedar clapboard behind him, next to where the first round landed. Whatever type of projectile it was, it released a clear liquid that cauterized the timber, turning it white as it oozed down the wall.